Well, again, good morning. Grace and peace to you. It is a joy to be with you. And I always like to start off my sermons with a little sermon song to help center our hearts and minds before we jump into God's Word. It's a simple verse of Alleluia, and then What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let us sing and pray and prepare our hearts. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. Amen. For the past couple of weeks, I've been looking at this text, especially the gospel lesson, and I was really getting into it and looking at this woman and this judge. And then I went back to the first lesson from Genesis about Jacob, and I decided that, you know, the theme that runs through both of those is a theme of wrestling. And so as I thought about Jacob there, I thought, you know, I wonder how this would sound if this was WWF. Okay? Now, maybe it would sound like this. And over here in this corner, weighing in at 110 pounds when he's all wet. And is over in this corner is Jacob. And, well, you know, he's a real mama's boy. Meaning that his mother helped trick her own husband, his father, into giving him the birthright. And over here in this corner is, well, all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing, God himself. And he created everything. Doesn't sound like a good wrestling match, does it? No. I tend to think that I think God was only wrestling with Jacob with one hand. Because that's about all it took. But when we look at this wrestling match, is that we have to realize is that Jacob was wrestling with things even before this started. Because the story starts that Jacob has his two wives. Uh-oh, wait a minute. We better hold our ears. Two wives. I don't know about that part. Two wives and all of his children, everything he owns, and they're on the run. Why? Because he's afraid of his brother Esau. He's afraid Esau's going to kill him because he took the birthright. So Jacob is wrestling with what that all means. I think he's wrestling and has a conscience finally. He's feeling guilty for what has happened. Because what happens just before this is that Jacob is actually sending presents to Esau to kind of make it easier. Please, please give this to Esau and tell him it's from Jacob. So he's wrestling with that. He's wrestling with all kinds of things going on there. Because we remember Jacob, he was the second born. And that name Jacob means he's a heel grabber or a heel holder. He was holding on to Esau, trying to move him out of the way so he could be firstborn and get the birthright. But it just didn't happen. So Jacob is wrestling with all kinds of things, and he's especially wrestling in the nighttime. Do you wrestle with things at nighttime? That's what Jacob's doing. He can't sleep. He goes off by himself, and maybe he goes off to pray, but he's wrestling with all these thoughts. Ever had a restless evening when your brain just doesn't want to quit? You're thinking about all these things of what you could have said, what you could have done, what you will do, what will happen. Anxiousness catches up on us, and we just can't sleep sometimes. We get very anxious. We wrestle with things. We struggle with things. That word wrestle is kind of interesting because I wanted to take a look at what that really means in the Greek there. And it does mean to wrestle. It means to grapple with something. It's a close fight or a struggle. It's not something that takes place way far away. It's close and it's fight. And then it used this word that I found fascinating. It said, be dust. In the Greek there, it said, be dust. And I said, wow, be dust. The last time I think I heard that in church was on Ash Wednesday, right? What do we say? Remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. For those that answer, you get a gold star. So maybe that's what Jacob is also wrestling with, is his own humanity. Am I living the kind of life that I wanted to? Or is he kind of trying to run away from all of that? He's wrestling with this thing. What does it mean to return to dust? And so as he's kind of sitting there wrestling in his mind, there's someone with him, and he starts to wrestle. I don't know how that whole thing started, but they start to wrestle. And after a while, it doesn't look like things are going to go Jacob's way there. But what happens is that his hip socket is put out of joint. And that just reminds us that when you wrestle with God, it's going to change you. When you wrestle with God, it's going to change you. And hopefully that's something that causes you to think about something. In the process of wrestling with God's word, in the process of struggling with what our faith means, is God changes us. It might take years, but all of a sudden we're doing something where, wow, a couple years ago I would have never done that. But wrestling with what God wants us to do, it changes us. But Jacob's ego still kind of takes over. It's kind of after the wrestling match, and this other person says, let me go, for the day is breaking. And Jacob says, I'm not going to let you go until you give me a blessing. He still wants something out of this whole thing. Very egotistical. And so this person says, well, what is your name? Well, my name is Jacob. Well, from now on, you're not going to be known as Jacob. You're going to be known as Israel. For you have striven with God. And here's the part that we usually just kind of pass over very quickly. You have striven with God and with humans, and you have prevailed. Israel. That name means that he will rule as God. On the coin flip, it also means that God prevails. So you will rule as God, but remember, God is the one that prevails. I just thought it was fascinating what it says there is that you have wrestled with God and with humans. And that's what Jacob knows. And he realizes that. He has wrestled with people his entire life. He's always trying to get the upper hand. And now someone has maybe gotten the upper hand on him. But he receives a blessing out of it. And I think that really does change Jacob. It really changes Jacob. Because maybe for once, there's a word of grace. Maybe for once, there's a word of forgiveness, and Jacob is forever changed beside the limp. This whole wrestling scene reminds us that in the midst of the struggle of life, we see God. It's in the midst of the struggle that we see God, for that's what Jacob says, for I have seen God face to face. The only person that I think also saw God face to face, and I can remember this from that wonderful movie, The Ten Commandments, especially the colored version, right? When Charlton Heston goes up to see God and he comes back and he's got this wonderful tan and his hair is like all white all of a sudden. And everyone goes, whoa, you must have seen God. And you prevailed. You're alive to talk about it. That's what Jacob says. I have seen God in the midst of the struggle. We see God. In the midst of the struggle of this life, we are blessed. In the midst of the struggle, we can name God and have this wonderful relationship. It's in the midst of the struggle that these things take place. But sometimes the struggle gets a little bit tough. And that's where our gospel comes into play. There's this widow, which means that she's on the bottom rung of every ladder that you can think of. I don't know if she has any children, but if she didn't have any boys, she's really down there low. It's as she, it doesn't even matter. And she's struggling. Something happened to her. We don't know what it is, but there was an injustice. And so she goes to this judge so that he can prevail over this justice because it's just not right, she says. It's just not right. If you can imagine this poor widow probably there before the judge, and this judge is probably up on a high chair somewhere, almost like a throne, passing out judgments. The power struggle is immense, if you can see it there. And yet, we heard this not too long ago, she persisted. She persisted. She kept on pushing it. Now, sometimes in these parables, we see the judge or other people as God. I'm going to tell you right now, is this judge is not God. This judge is the opposite of God. Because this person actually says, is that I have really no faith in anybody. I have no respect for anybody. I really don't care for people. Can you imagine a judge sitting there deciding cases, and that's his view on life? I really don't like people. I don't really care. But she persisted. And so what happens? He finally gives in. How and why? Just to get rid of her. He finally says, okay, fine. I'm just doing this so that I can get rid of you and I can carry on my life because you are just too persistent for me. In the midst of the struggle, what it says there in Luke is to keep on praying and not to lose heart. Oh, we look around the world today and it is so easy to lose heart, isn't it? All we have to do is turn on the television or read the newspaper or go on the internet, and there is so much to lose heart about. Especially that reading from Timothy where it says that the people are not looking at sound doctrine anymore. In other words, let's paraphrase that, they're going crazy. They're listening to anything that's out there. And I thought, wow, that's pretty true of our world today. And yet, like that widow, we are called to keep seeking justice, that which is right, to make people on a level plane, to bring people up, those that are low to bring them up, and maybe sometimes those that are high to bring them down. It's a struggle. It's a wrestling match. And it's a wrestling match that God has called us to. And it's in that wrestling match that we can bless the world. It is in that wrestling match that we will see God in the face of those people that we are helping. It was so nice to see Peggy Anderson this morning. Peggy has been, she's just been a stalwart person when it comes to One Pot, One Hope. She collects people, and I'm sure she twists your arm as much as possible to get you to come to help out on the last Saturday of the month. She stood up this morning and said, okay, it's this next Saturday. Let's go. But when we go over there to feed, we see the face of God in those people that come forward. And we are blessed, and they are blessed. In the midst of the struggle, in the midst of seeking justice for each other, we are blessed because we see God face to face. We are blessed because we know that we're in this struggle together and that that's the struggle that God has called us to. So just like Abraham, we are blessed to be a blessing. And so let us go forth and continue to bless the world even in the midst of wrestling and struggling. For there we will see God. Amen.